Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus is replying to a question he had asked Peter, and Peter gave him an answer. And Jesus is replying, and he says, I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus did not say, as many of the Catholics propose, that he was going to build his church upon the Apostle Peter. He was saying that he would build his church upon the declaration that Peter had made in answering the Lord's question of Matthew 16, 13 through 17. And so you're already on Matthew 16. Let's read verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Church planting has been the goal of hundreds of missionaries' efforts over the last several centuries. In fact, it goes all the way back to the Apostle Paul. Paul was a church planter. That was 2,000 years ago. Jesus talked with his disciples about building his church. And I'd like for us to think about this building of Christ's church from an individual standpoint, from the position that you are the church, because you are. It's not a building. It never has been a building. The early church met in homes. Sometimes they met out in the woods. I've heard of churches meeting in the woods in Russia because they couldn't have church in buildings. And so they would have secret meetings out in the woods. So Jesus needs to build his church, and he has been building it. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday night. That's why we have Sunday morning, Sunday night. You are the church, and Jesus wants to build you to be like him. To begin with, the church met in the homes of the people. Like I said, it met in the woods sometimes, when they had to keep complete secrecy. So when the Lord said that he was going to build his church, he meant he was going to build up his people. The Lord's efforts had begun long before he gave this answer to Peter and his disciples. It began back during the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus gave the people the Beatitudes and other instructions. You and I have to remember that Jesus had not paid the price yet to his Heavenly Father for our sins, for the sins of all the other people in the world. One day, Jesus would go to the cross, and everyone's sins who trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be forgiven. They would be paid for. They would be gone. We have to remember that Jesus paid a terrible price for your and my sin. And by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, placing our faith in him, our sins are forgiven. We had a great Sunday school class this morning, and it dealt with the difference between us before we were saved, before our sins were forgiven, and now when Jesus Christ and God's Holy Spirit is a part of us. We need to be aware of the fact that Jesus' building of the church didn't stop at the cross. It's gone on ever since then. It is continuing today. That's why we are here today, is we are building up the church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit would come. He would establish Christian doctrines and traditions through the apostles as they wrote their letters to the various churches, giving us the same instructions that they gave to those churches. The ministry of Jesus Christ was actually preparation for the raising of the church, for the raising of the church structure, but it was not a building. It was a people. The actual construction of the church would only be spiritual, not physical. Today, many people think of the church as being physical, and they don't consider that people are the real church. The instructions that the apostles added to what Jesus taught his followers were necessary because of the attacks of the devil against the church of Jesus Christ. And he is attacking today. You may be under attack this very day. The devil does not want God's church to grow. He does not want God's church to prosper. And he will do anything he can to distract us, you and I, from what God wants for us. God has a will for you. God has a purpose for you. God wants that purpose to be completed. He has a job for you to do. And so the devil is going to do everything he can to frustrate you and to frustrate God's purpose. There are many people who know the truth, yet they just don't practice it. Not in their everyday life. They permit themselves to become a tool in the hands of the devil. They actually do great harm to the church because of their testimony. And that is something that God does not need. He could control it, but he has given us free will to do as we choose. All of us are capable of inflicting pain and damage upon the church. My activity can affect you because you are the church. So I have to live my life so that I do not hurt the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, and that's all of you. And you all have to live the same way. If you falter, it reflects upon this church. Whatever you do reflects. Somebody is watching you. You may not realize it, but there are people watching you. They know when you go to church. And they also know when you don't go to church. They probably talk with someone about it. But a pastor, if I don't preach the word, I damage the church. If you don't practice the word, you damage the church. Jesus Christ wants to build each one of us up. The purpose that God reached down and called each one of us, and we're all called. You didn't come to Christ voluntarily. Somebody told you about him, and you had conviction in your conscience that you needed Christ, because you wouldn't have called on him if he didn't. So God has called you to be a part of the church. And he wants you to be a part of the church. If I don't preach all of the word, and this past Wednesday, I was talking to Bobby after Sunday school. This past Wednesday, I preached a portion of the word that I don't normally get into because I don't want to stir up anything. But the Bible talks about the relationship of the man and the woman to the church and what the woman's position is. Women have a place in the church. So do men. But men provide the leadership over the women. And sometimes that's very difficult for people to understand and comprehend. So I preached a message on, I hadn't preached that message in 25 years. Because the last time I did, three ladies got up and walked out. But we need to preach all of the word, and we're trying to preach all the word. That's to help all of us to grow in the Lord and be a better part of the church. We need to be in this, the word of God, every day, because otherwise we don't know what it says. And so we need to be that every day, so we will be ready to defend the word against the attacks of the devil. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by the devil after his baptism? He quoted the word. And that defeated the devil. We can do the same thing. We can quote the word to the devil, but we have to know it first. The deacons can hurt the church by failing to do what they are designated to do by the bylaws of the church and the direction of the pastor. A deacon is not a ruler, but a servant of the congregation. They have authority to regulate the activities of the congregation and conduct the business of the church as long as it does not interfere with the pastor's scripturally designated responsibilities. The deacons' wives are to be included in the church service to the church. The wives are to live more spiritual lives than the rest of the congregation. To fail to do so is a failure on their part. Now we come to the largest part of the church, the congregation. Though the majority of the congregation hold no office, they are prone to be less careful in their activities. And this is where Jesus' building of the church becomes significant. He is still building the church. He is still building this church, because some of the members need additional teaching about the word and what the word says. There are two main reasons that people don't keep the word of God. The first reason would be that they really don't believe the word. The second is similar. They don't know what the word of God says. This is the reason that the apostle Paul and the other apostles wrote the various books and letters that they wrote in the church. Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, he tells us this: let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the day approaching is the day of the return of the Lord for his church. There is a time coming, people. Nobody knows when it is other than God. There is a time coming when Jesus will appear in the clouds. And all of those who know him as personal Savior will be caught up to meet him in the air. And the Bible tells us, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's not coming to earth. He's coming in the clouds. He'll be remain in the clouds until we gather with him. He'll take us back to heaven. But that is the day which is approaching. It has got to, it's been 2,000 years since he said he was coming back. It's got to be close. When the pastor is led to bring a message by the Holy Spirit, that is God talking to his people through the pastor. If he's faithful to what God wants him to share with the people. When the people are not present, the pastor's time and preparation is wasted, and the people who need it don't get it. So they may continue to do things that God has said not to do. One other thing is that they are not being loving to the rest of the congregation when they are not here. Because how can you love a person that you have no contact with? So that's why we were told by the Apostle Paul, as he wrote the book of Hebrews, that we are to meet every time. The early church, whenever they met, they were meeting in homes, they were meeting in the synagogue. Whenever they met, they gathered, all of them, as many as they could. And they were there to learn about what Jesus was doing to build his church. And he is still doing the same thing today that he did 2,000 years ago. Next time, people want to skip church, it will seem easier because the devil makes it that way. Because people, when they do things they should not do, harden their heart. Remember the story of Pharaoh with the Israelites? When Moses was asking Pharaoh to let them go, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that Moses hardened his heart and he would not let them go. So when you and I get involved in any kind of undesirable actions, we harden our heart, and it makes it easier to do that action the next time that we have that opportunity. The only way for us to change is that we submit to the working of God's Holy Spirit in our consciences or our lives or our soul. The church right now, worldwide, is in decline. And there's a reason for that. Part of it is because people are in decline. I was so glad to hear our president announce that there were just two kinds of people, male and female. And that's what God has said. It's important. There are no other comments. One of the things I heard people ask one of the senators if he could name other kinds, because the senator was objecting to what the president had said. And they asked the senator, well, what other kinds are they? Tell me. And his face just got red and he turned around and walked away. People, this is the truth. This is the truth. This is what Jesus is building his church upon, the truth of God. Jesus' building of the church has continued since his resurrection and ascension into heaven. The real problem is that the people have become complacent with not being in church when they should be. If they were reading their Bible at home like they should be, it wouldn't matter so much because they would be reading what is being preached at the church. The problem is that they are not reading at home like Jesus instructed his followers. So let's look at building the church from a biblical perspective. The foundation that the church is built upon is Jesus Christ. And one other thing, something that you have all experienced, forgiveness. Forgiveness. We have to have forgiveness in our hearts. We have experienced it from God. Now we need to share it with the other folks around us. Jesus talked about forgiveness over and over. He came to die so that you and I could be forgiven. First of all, for our sin. And we called out to Jesus for forgiveness. He shed his blood to buy our freedom from sin in God's sight. Next, Jesus expected us to forgive as we have been forgiven. That's what he taught his disciples. He taught them that if they go to prayer and they realize that at some point like that, that their brother has something against them, to settle it with him before they leave their gift at the altar. What gifts do we have? We can share the Lord Jesus Christ with people. We can minister to the needs of people. And God gives us what he gives us that we can share with others. If we choose not to forgive others for their offenses toward us, then Jesus told his disciples God would not forgive them. And the same thing is still true today because truth does not change. He tied forgiveness to prayer. In Mark chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus spoke to his disciples. Mark chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus made another statement that the people sometimes overlook. That is in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. That was part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. So you see, it's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiveness that he's going to build up the church. It can be no simpler than that. If we forgive, we are forgiven. If we don't forgive, then we are not forgiven. It does not matter what the offense is. We are to immediately forgive. Not to do so is to resign ourselves to go through life with a load of sin upon our souls. Jesus himself said so. Do you know what this means when anybody does not forgive? It means that they can no longer talk to God. And worse yet, God will no longer talk to them. It means that they can no longer pray to God because he has said, God has said, not man, God has said, he will not hear their prayers. Wouldn't it be awful to go through life without being able to pray to God and know that he heard your petition? Psalm 66:18. I've quoted it here many times. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. He says so. Now, God says that he does not hear their prayers. Their pride denies the truth of God in much of their lives, life's activities. How sad that they no longer recognize truth. We must pray for them because they can't pray for themselves. So the Church of Jesus Christ is built upon the foundation of Jesus' blood and forgiveness. The next element of church building is righteousness. Not ours, because we don't have any, but Christ's righteousness. He covers us with his righteousness so that God the Father in heaven sees Christ's righteousness upon us. Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife is us. Is us. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church. It says, his wife has made her ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints from Jesus. Jesus has already given all of us righteousness. I don't feel righteous. I know me. You may feel the same way, but Jesus has already given us his righteousness. Verse 9, and he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. The wife is the church, and the righteousness is Christ. So what has Jesus done so far? He has washed us with his blood in fulfillment of Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. He forgave us and told us to forgive also. Then Jesus covered the church, or his bride, with righteousness. Now Jesus has to build the structure, the body of the church. He needs to teach each member of his body to be obedient to his commands. First, we need to show evidence of the Holy Spirit being in our heart. We need to show love. We need to show peace. We need to show joy. We need to have long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Once we have established the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we are ready to become part of the church universal. Jesus is going to build his church by shaping each piece of the structure to be exactly what is needed to support the structure, and each one of us are a piece of that structure. He has something for you to do. He has a purpose for you. Your life is not an accident. Unfortunately, not everyone chooses to be yielded to the molding of Jesus as he molds each individual. There are those who rebel and resist conviction and what is written in God's Word. We must not resist the working of God's Holy Spirit, but we must learn to yield when he attempts to shape us to be like Jesus. One of the most difficult aspects of our being shaped is the part that repentance plays in the final result. Repentance is not something that we generate, but God sends it through sorrow over our relationship with him. 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us about it. 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Repentance means to turn away and take a new direction. A new direction away from the action that brought on the sorrow. The problem with a few people is that their pride gets in the way and they never permit themselves to come to full repentance. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter 3:9. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter wrote, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God gives each of us time to let the Spirit work on our soul's pride. Pride is a real obstacle to repentance. Well, the Lord began to work on the construction of his church during his earthly ministry. But his work went on in the disciples after his resurrection and his ascension. It goes on today as people read the Word of God. We all, you and I, have a choice as we read. We can respond to the Word, or we can just let our eyes pass over the pages of the Bible and not take action upon what we read. Many times I find that as I have read something or some passage and I don't remember specifically what I read. I don't know if it has to do with getting old, but I have to go back and reread it. Sometimes I have to reread it two or three times before I'm able to comprehend what God is trying to tell me. If I'm complacent about my reading, I may have to do this more than once. I believe that it's important that we have a purpose for the reading of what we are doing. There are several reasons that we should be in the Word of God. We should seek to know more about God, or we should be asking God to speak from his word to our hearts so that we might know his will in any particular situation. Before I sit down in the morning and read the word, I ask God, God, show me what you want me to see today. Help me to understand and hide it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's not a routine. It's a plea to God, as the pleas we see Paul make of God in the Word. Jesus gave us a reason to spend time in the Bible. Matthew 6:33. You know the verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, we need your strength. We need to know what you would have us to do. Father, we are as sheep wandering about in the pasture of this world. And Father, you can guide us with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we seek for you to guide us, for your Holy Spirit to be with us at all times, and he is, because he has indwelled us. Help us, Father, to have ears that hear the still small voice of your Holy Spirit, like Elijah did when he was ministering for thee. And help each one of us to minister for thee as Jesus builds his church. And may this church survive until Jesus comes back for his bride. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right.